Good morning. Well, it's kind of, our program has kind of got twisted around a little bit because of the children's program. There's a lot more music to come, which I'm looking forward to hearing. But you can imagine when you got a bunch of 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, how much actual music you're actually going to hear. You know, they're going to be real shy, so we're going to be singing with them and enjoying the time we have singing Christmas songs. And I tell you, doesn't this barn look good with all the Christmas arrangements and stuff? I love Christmas time. I was talking to the band this morning. They said, well, is it all right? Is it okay? Do you feel comfortable with Jesus being up here? And one of them said, the question, I guess, is he comfortable here? You know, is Jesus comfortable being back in the barn again where he first started out? I know that this one is not real and it's plastic, but the message is true, though. The question is, I was thinking the whole time, really, would Jesus feel comfortable coming back into his own house? Would he be comfortable here this morning? Man, I sure pray that he is. I pray that he would feel that much comfort, that he would feel at home in what we call his house, right? Amen? The Christmas season, like I said, is a time that I really love. I love it because it seems to bring out the best in everybody. Everybody starts putting a smile on their face. They start wishing each other Merry Christmas and opening doors for people that they probably wouldn't have done before just to have a little bit of Christmas cheer. And it's just a time of year that I just love because of, it seems like, the change of heart, the merriment, the excitement of Christmas time coming. You know, but really, what is Christmas really? What's its purpose? What are we really celebrating? What are we here for? That was one of the questions that as I was getting ready for the message. It says, what is the purpose of Jesus having to come and be born? Why did he have to come as a baby? A lot of questions. What is the purpose? You know, I got to thinking about purposes. I got to thinking about fences. You know, fence has a lot of different meanings. It has a lot of different purposes. Depending on what kind you're talking about, were you talking about a barbed wire fence that we normally use to hold stock in? You know, it's usually to keep them in somewhere. Where a pipe fence, we might be using it to make an arena. We might be having it to build to make just a boundary to make it look good, you know, to see where your land starts and where it ends. I got to thinking also about my saddle. I thought, you know, what is the purpose of a saddle? Everybody really knows. But have you really thought about it? Why do you have to have a saddle? A horse has a back, doesn't he? I guess because some of us are not that good riders to ride bareback. I've seen guys that tried to rodeo bareback. Has anybody ever tried to do that? Anybody ever tried to really work cattle on a horse without a saddle? It's not easy. I saw a guy try it, and it was ugly. It didn't turn out good. He ended up underneath the horse. Underneath that sucker. We use it for what? For balance, for stability, to have a firm seat. What was the purpose, though, of Jesus' birth? Why did he have to come to earth as a baby and be born in a stall? You know, a stall, when we think of the word stall, all of us that have horses and cattle and stuff, you know what a stall is. Is it a pretty place? Well, I don't know. I have seen some barns that, man, they're better than my house. Horse lives better than me. But on a general rule, they're kind of dirty, they're dusty, they're airy. But this is the place that God chose to send his son. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was born in a place not like this. Even though we call this a barn, it was an airy stall where critters just come in and out, where the smells is not what you'd call, what city folks call as being pleasant. This is where Jesus came. He chose to be, not at the Hyatt Regency of the time. He didn't come as a king with all the splendor to come into a beautiful hotel. All through the Old Testament, God tried to have a relationship with us. I'm talking about people, humans, here on earth. He made us in His image, and from the very first time, during the time of Adam and Eve, where He walked hand in hand with them and talked with them in the garden, He enjoyed that just as much as they did. But something happened that forever changed our relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. What was it? Anybody know? Sin. Sin came in to the Garden of Eden. And that sin separated them. From that moment on, Adam and Eve did not enjoy the personal walk, the personal time with God. No longer did they walk with Him and talk with Him. It didn't happen anymore after that time. And ever since that time, God has tried over and over and over again to have a covenant, to make a covenant between Him and His people, and said, all I want to do is love you. I want you to love me. I want to take care of you. I want to do for you. Over the centuries, that's all He has. All I want you to do is to serve me. Time after time after time, that covenant got broken, didn't it? Over and over and over. No fellowship with God. Time and time, man separated himself from God because of himself and because of sin that was in his life. You know, if there was any other way that God could accomplish salvation than sending His Son, He would have done it. I'm telling you, if there had been just any other way, He could have done it. But there wasn't. He needed a sacrifice. Someone had to die for the sin that was being committed in this world. Thus came Jesus. This is why Jesus had to come. This is why He was born. I have seven reasons here that why Jesus had to be born. The first one is, it says that He came to fulfill prophecy. In Matthew 5:17, it says this. I'm going through a lot of scriptures, y'all, so if you want to write them down, that's okay. I don't know if you're going to have to keep up with me. It's going to be fast. But Matthew 5:17 says, don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. Jesus came to fulfill prophecy. In Isaiah 7:14 in the Old Testament, we're talking about the Old Testament now, not the New, but in the Old Testament, Isaiah wrote this. All right then, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. See, this has been told about thousands of years before Christ come, that it was going to happen. It was pre-told. They knew about it. They knew Jesus was coming. They just didn't know who He was. The second thing, the reason Jesus had to come, He came to seek the lost. In Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. He didn't come here to have a party, did He? He came to save. For those who were wandering, that needed salvation, that's who He came to die for, so that we wouldn't have to. The third one, he came to serve. In Matthew 20:28, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give us his life as a ransom." Number four, he came to give life. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose," Jesus said, "is to give them a rich and satisfying life." The fifth one, he came to preach. In Luke 4:43, this is when he was talking to Pilate. He said, but he replied, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent." Number six, he came to testify to the truth. In John 18:37, Pilate said, "So you are a king?" He was asking a question. Jesus responded, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize what I say is true." The seventh reason, there's a lot more, y'all. This is just seven reasons why Jesus had to be born. He came to give eternal life. In John 3:16, probably the most known verse in the world today, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Man, this is the true meaning of Christmas, isn't it? The meaning of Jesus, why he came. He came to give us eternal life. He gave us so much more, though, didn't he? Think of all the love and the grace and the compassion, all the things that he gave us. This is just, I think, the greatest, the free gift of eternal life. You know, it's a true message of Christmas. It's Jesus. It says that who sent to us the Father, you know, when the Father sent Jesus to us, he sent it to us because why? Because he loved us so much. You know, a lot of times we get to thinking about Christmas, we try to put a little bit of Jesus in Christmas. Because a lot of us, Christmas is about giving gifts. Christmas is about getting together with families and having good meals and things. And we kind of just give a little bit of that time to Jesus. But in actuality, Jesus is Christmas. There's no other way to say it. It isn't just a little bit about Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no Christmas. Jesus is Christmas. When we think about what he has done for us, when we think about this time of year, we think about all the giving gifts to ones that we love and trying to help the ones who are not as fortunate as we are, to make sure that they have something to eat, to make sure that they have gifts for their children. Because Jesus is Christmas, that is something that we should carry with us 365 days a year. Because when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you can have Christmas every single day you get up in the morning. When you start your day off, I don't care if it's in the middle of June, Christmas is not a date. Christmas is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. Lord God, thank you so much for sending Jesus. Thank you so much for giving up your only Son, because you loved us so much. Lord, we are not worth Jesus' life, but you did it anyway. I'm not worth it, Lord. But I thank you so much for that gift. Thank you for dying for me. I pray, Lord, as this season comes, the next 7 days, the next 5 days, Lord, as we prepare for Christmas, Lord, and that day, I just pray, Father, that we would remember what Christmas is really about. Not about the gifts that we're going to get or we're going to give, Lord, but the ultimate gift that we receive from you, your Son. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Well, the kids are...